Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode of AMMA. No, I'm kidding. It's actually episode 6 of ANAMMA, but my host, Monty, is on vacation, and pretty much all my other friends who like MMA are also on vacation, it seems, and I found out that all my other friends really don't follow the sport, so it's a solo cast today. Shout out Chris Clem's Cavs cast, and shout out the Cavs. They just swept the Raptors. That was pretty cool to see. So I'm pretty much just going to make a little brief news segment and then go over UFC 211 that goes on this weekend. Andrew never sent me his picks because I've lost so many times in a row now that I think we're going to do something different, and we haven't really figured that out yet. So we're not betting on this one, but I'm still going to make my picks personally of who I think is going to win the fights, at least the ones I know. All right, so first off in the news, Anderson Silva went on Ariel Helwani's show on Monday, and because, as we talked about last week, he lost his fight, not lost, but Kelvin Gastelum got fined for smoking weed and stripped from the fight, is what I mean. So Anderson Silva's kind of been in limbo waiting for an opponent, and the UFC's still been promoting him like, oh, hey, Anderson Silva is still on this card. But he still has no opponent. So Silva kind of took to the media and said, hey, if I don't get Yoel Romero, and if I don't get like an interim title shot, I'm going to retire. Well, Dana White called his bluff and said, you are not getting an interim title. There's no reason for him to get an interim title. And I don't even think he's going to get Yoel Romero, to be honest. So that's interesting to see. I'm anxious to know how Anderson's going to respond. I mean, you would think that, you know, he was such a staple for the sport for so long and for the company that they would kind of back him a little bit. I mean, historically, they have kind of sat him down and said, all right, look, how can we solve this? But the UFC, you know, is under new management now, and it's not the same people. Dana is pretty much the only one that's there from the old days. It's pretty much just him, and then the company saying, nah, we don't think he's going to make us that much money, so we don't want to do that. So it'll be interesting to see where Silva goes from here. I hope he doesn't retire. You know, I definitely still think he's got some fight in him. He hasn't looked that great as of late, but I would have loved to see him against Gastelum and against Yoel. I don't think his chances are that great there, but yeah, we'll see. Who knows? So going along with that topic, it was just announced that Kelvin Gastelum has been stripped of his win over Vitor, his very dominant win of former champ Vitor Belfort, and it was declared a no contest. And he was also fined 20% of his purse. He reportedly won $74,000 for winning the fight, plus a $50,000 knockout bonus, and got fined 20% of that. That's a lot of money. But the fact that they stripped him of the win and called it a no contest for smoking weed, I am livid at this. USADA is out of control at this point. There's no reason that they should have went this far with it. I mean, if he got pulled from the Anderson Silva fight, that's one thing. But to go back and say, no, this is a performance-enhancing drug, you were under... No, that's horrible. I cannot believe they did that to him. That's really upsetting because I feel like he's definitely one of the top prospects up and coming at 185. And he definitely shows a lot of promise. So I hope he'll get back in there. I hope he still, you know, doesn't get too discouraged from all this stuff going on. I mean, that's really upsetting to see. Also on Ariel Helwani's show, this is a couple days later, Nate Diaz finally came out of hiding. And, you know, just kind of talked a little shit. Decided to say that he's on Conor's level. And on the MMA Beat, which is another news analyst podcast type thing, they said that Nate was also on Conor's level, like a Ronda, Conor, John Jones type. And I don't see it. I mean, I enjoy watching Nate fight. I think he's really good at shit-talking. I think he really does a good job of pumping up the fights and, you know, making them watchable. And, you know, just to see him trash-talk in the cage is something to see, too, because he really does that Stockton slap and, you know, will just badmouth you while he's beating your ass. And that's really cool to see. But I don't think he's on Connor's level. I mean, yeah, he might have made almost $1 million when he fought Connor, but that was because he fought Connor. I mean, Connor was the one that was making these fights, not Nate. Yeah, Nate beat him the first time because Connor was getting ready for Rafael Dos Anjos, who was, you know, top-level Muay Thai jiu-jitsu guy. Not that Nate isn't, but Nate's a boxer, and that's not what Connor was expecting. So, of course, he got, you know, the first time they fought, and then the second, Connor, you know, redeemed himself. But Nate still says, you know, about Connor and Floyd fighting, he says, well, if Floyd wins, then I can say, yeah, you know, I beat his ass too, so that's cool. And if Connor beats Floyd, Nate can say, oh, well, I beat Connor's ass, so what does that say about Floyd? I don't see it like that. Connor whooped the shit out of Nate for 25 minutes on their second fight. He had Connor in a little bit of trouble for a moment, but Connor was knocking Nate down quite a few times in that second rematch. And I do believe there needs to be a third fight. That's definitely one worth watching. But outside of that, you know, Nate making all these super fights, I don't see. He's 3-4 in his last seven fights. He lost against Rafael Dos Anjos. He lost against Benson Henderson. And he really only beat Connor and Gray Maynard. You know, he beat Michael Johnson too, but, you know, I don't know if Michael's that up there, but I don't know. I just don't see the worth in Nate Diaz right now to be that high level of competition to where you're making, not necessarily competition, but stardom to where you're making, you know, these $1 million pay-per-views and getting a million pay-per-view buys if you're not fighting Conor McGregor. I don't see that happening. But hey, he came out, talked a bunch of shit, said he was apparently offered the Tony Ferguson fight, and that didn't happen. So then he goes on to say, and this makes you realize that Nate's not as dumb as he seems to be. Neither the Diaz brothers are. I feel like not only the media, but just kind of the sport makes them out to be just, you know, these fighting jerks that just talk a bunch of crap, and they can back it up, but they're not that smart. Well, they really are. They really have a good knowledge of the sport and things going on behind the scenes. Conor McGregor has the same manager as Tony Ferguson, and his manager went on to say, oh yeah, well, they gotta, you know, Nate's gotta hype up Conor if he wants to fight, and Tony's gotta hype Conor up if you, and you know, so then everyone's talking about like, oh well, let's have Nate Diaz and Tony Ferguson fight. And Nate's going, why would I do your dirty work? So Conor can go out and make all these millions while I fight the number one contender in Tony Ferguson, so you don't have to, so you don't look like the guy who's running from a fight. Why would I do that? And it makes perfect amount of sense. I mean, that's obviously something that they're working on right now to keep Conor McGregor in the Mayweather spotlight. And I think Tony Ferguson would beat Nate Diaz. I think that would be a great fight to see, but I can see how that they would kind of be pawning him off on, oh, well, let's give Conor more time. He can fight Nate in the meantime. But I do kind of see how that would be a plot that Nate found against him, basically. So in other news, this was apparently announced but not confirmed for some reason. The UFC is going to make a flyweight division for the 125-pound women's belt. And they're going to run Ultimate Fighter season. And the winner of that Ultimate Fighter season will become the new 125-pound champ. So this is a brand-new division in the women's division. They're going to have four now in the UFC. I think that's pretty exciting because right now you either fight at 115 or you fight at 135. That's a huge gap for people to cut. So I think that'll really bridge the gap between those two. And that's going to be really exciting to see. I think this is what the women's division needs, is something big like this. So you can have multiple fights, maybe people fighting for multiple belts and different things like that. So I think that's really good to see. So that's pretty much that for news that happened this week. So now let's take a look at UFC 211. Miocic versus Dos Santos. So this fight card, I'm super excited about. I'm just overjoyed with this. I think this is the biggest one of the year for sure. Our boy, the Cleveland man himself, Stipe, against Junior, who has it one win over him. And I went back and watched that fight for the first two, 2.5 rounds. Stipe really showed you know, that he has what it takes to stand in there. And this is way before he won the title. This is, I think, 2 or 3 years ago that they fought originally. But Stipe really showed a lot of heart. He really brought it to Dos Santos, which not a lot of people do. A lot of people are that afraid of his punching power and his boxing skills that they don't, you know, want to go for him and want to go towards him and all that. So I think it was really cool to see. Obviously, Dos Santos backed him down, you know, from that and came away with the decision. But I could see how they could give it to Stipe. He did look a little tired in the later rounds. He'd never been on a 25-minute fight before. It was a main event, but we'll see what happens this time. So, me personally, I got Stipe in that fight. He's been on such a tear lately. He's looked great in his last three fights. I definitely have him winning that fight. If Dos Santos loses, I don't really know where he goes from there. He's been in the top five heavyweight for years now, and hasn't had the belt in a couple years. So I'd like to see him in maybe not Cain fight again, maybe Verdum, maybe rematch against Overeem. That's something I could see, but I definitely have Stipe winning that fight. In the co-main event, Joanna, I don't know how to say her last name, Jochenchik, the undefeated women's strawweight champ against Jessica Andrade. This is going to be a really big test for Joanna. Jessica has excellent hands. She got excellent punching ability, and I'm excited to see how Joanna's going to come up against that, the Polish warrior. We'll see how she combats the punching power of Jessica Andrade, but I personally have Joanna winning that fight. I don't know how you can bet against an undefeated champ like her. I got Joanna winning that fight. In the third fight on the card, Damian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal. Now, Jorge took to himself in saying that the UFC has been making him out to be a the one that's going to fight the people that the UFC doesn't really want to move up, or doesn't want them to get the belt because of his knockout power. And you got Damian Maia, who, you know, yeah, he takes people down and submits them in excellent fashion, but I don't think the UFC thinks that he can sell pay-per-views. Jorge Masvidal, on the other hand, talks a bunch of shit, knocks people out. I do think that that's the guy that they think is going to sell the most pay-per-view buys if he becomes the champ. And I do think that this is the number one contender fight right here. I don't see anyone else really in 170 right now coming up for the belt, or at least getting an immediate title shot, except for these two. I think this is really going to be a deciding matchup. Damian Maia was dominant at 185. He got a title shot and came up a little short, but I think he's looked great at 170, so this will be a huge test for Jorge Masvidal. I honestly don't know who I have in this fight. I want to pick Masvidal. I think he can keep it standing. But how do you go against Damian Maia, the guy who's one of the best submission artists in the UFC and maybe in fighting in general? I think I'm going to pick Damian Maia on this one. And I hope that he gets a title shot after this. I don't know what's going to happen with him and Woodley. Hopefully Woodley takes it to him, you know, not like the Stephen Thompson fight, because I don't think Woodley's going to be as afraid of Maya's punching power if they fight. But I do hope if he beats Jorge Masvidal that he will get a title shot. And I do think that should be the next matchup to make. In the fourth fight, Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez. Now, everyone was saying that Yair came up, he knocked out, not knocked out, but yeah, he pretty much knocked out BJ Penn. that they were giving him Frankie Edgar as like a stepping stone, like, oh, this is former champ, we'll see what you can do against him. But it turns out that Yair actually called out Frankie Edgar. He actually asked for this fight. And, you know, that's a huge testament to him. He's only, how old is he? 24 years old and has been as dominant as he has been. He's got wins over Charles Rosa, Alex Caceres, and now BJ Penn. So I think he's definitely going to be the next thing in the 145-pound division. He's tall for that division. He's got amazing Muay Thai. And I'm actually kind of anxious to see what he can do on the ground. I haven't seen enough of his fights to know how he is off his back, but I do think Edgar will be able to take him down if he can get in close and close up the distance. That's how Edgar's going to have to win this fight. Edgar, I don't think you can count him out. He's the former champ. He's not been looked that bad, again, in the 145-pound division. I mean, he's got wins over Cub Swanson, Uriah Faber, Chad Mendez. He is really only big loss in that division is a couple losses to Jose Aldo. But, I mean, it's Jose Aldo, so, like, I get that. but I have Yair winning this fight. I think he's definitely the next big thing up and coming in this division and in the UFC in general. I think he's definitely a top prospect and one to watch out for. So I definitely have Yair winning this fight. And then in the another fight on the main card, Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis. I like Sergio Pettis. I think he's definitely a good fighter in the flyweight division. He beat John Moraga recently, and that's pretty big for him. So I definitely see him being a good star in the 125-pound division. Now, can he beat Demetrius Johnson? I don't know. Henry Cejudo is coming off a loss to Joseph Benavidez and Demetrius Johnson, so he's almost in fight or die mode at this point. But Sergio Pettis, I think, has looked really good lately. And, you know, he's Anthony Pettis' old Showtime's brother, so he's training with him. He's definitely got some fight in him. I have Sergio winning this fight. I think if Cejudo takes it to the ground, he's definitely going to probably be a little bit more dominant. That's, I think, where he wins this fight, but I have Pettis winning this fight. So then in the last fight on the main card, this one's big, and I'm surprised it's this far down on the main card. Former champ Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier. Now this one, I'm really excited for this one. I can't believe it's the first fight on this night, on the main card for this night. Dustin Poirier has looked great in his last few fights. He did have a loss to Michael Johnson, but he beat Jim Miller, Yancy Moritos, and Bobby Green, and Joe Duffy. So he's looked really good lately in 155, and he's been since the WEC. And Eddie Alvarez, of course, Bellator's one of the most dominant 155-pounders besides Michael Chandler. Side note, I would love to see Michael Chandler be in the UFC. I really hope they can make that happen. I think he would do amazing things for this. And I would love to see him versus like a Conor McGregor or like a Jose Aldo. That would be an amazing fight to see. But I do have Eddie Alvarez winning this fight. I think he's had enough time off after the Conor McGregor loss. And I think he's going to have, you know, taken enough rest and has done his homework enough to where he's going to be hungry to get that belt back. And I think he can do it. I don't know how often Conor's going to fight anymore with, you know, how things have been lately. He just had his child was born the other day, earlier in the week. And for Dustin Poirier to win this fight, he's definitely going to have to make it scrappy. He's going to have to get in close, really do some dirty boxing and make it a war. But I do have Eddie winning this fight. There's not too many other fighters on this card that I know by name, so I'm not going to go that much more into it. James Vick is fighting Poyo Reyes, and I do have James Vick winning that fight. I think he's another really up-and-coming 155-pounder, and that's going to be an exciting one. But, yeah, the prelims, not the best I've ever seen, but the main card is definitely the most exciting of the year. So that's definitely going to be one to watch out for. I'm definitely going to be rooting on my boy, Stipe Miocic, our Cleveland champ. Hopefully we can retain that belt all through the year when the Cavs win. Maybe the Indians will come back too, and we'll have three champs in Cleveland, and that would be excellent to see. So that's pretty much going to do it for me for this episode. Just a quick recap on news for the week and the upcoming fights. Monty will be back on Sunday. We may have a guest, we may not. I don't know. That's kind of how things have been looking lately. Pretty much on the fly is how we do things here. So that was episode 6 of ANA MMA. Shout out to our sponsor, WIRR Modeling. Check him out on Facebook, who is Ray Roberts. And that's going to do it for me. Till next time, guys.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.